of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me.
For you are my rock and my fortress.
And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me.
Into your hand I commit my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God.
Amen.
us pray.
Almighty God, the martyred innocence of Bethlehem showed forth your praise, not by speaking, but by dying. Put to death in us all that is in conflict with your will, that our lives may bear witness to the faith we profess with our lips, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The first reading for the Feast of Holy Innocents is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
O God, save me by your name.
And vindicate me by your might.
O God, hear my prayer.
Give ear to the words of my mouth.
For strangers have risen against me, ruthless men seek my life.
They do not set God before themselves.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
He will return the evil to my enemies.
In your faithfulness, put an end to them.
With a freewill offering, I will sacrifice to you.
I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good.
For he has delivered me from every trouble.
And my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies.
Glory
to the Father.
Behold, God is my helper.
The Lord is the upholder of my life.
The second reading is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled: "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text from St. Matthew's Gospel, I'll reread selections. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, just as the angel of the Lord had instructed him. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old and under. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. This is our text. The question that hits me is this: why? It just seems so senseless. Why? That is the question. The question when we hear about the slaughter of the holy innocents in and around Bethlehem, and the question when we think about the 65 million aborted in the United States since 1973. And also the question that we wrestle with so often in our own lives. We try to make sense of the world in which we live. We try to make sense of what we experience. We try to make sense of what we see and of what we hear. Why them, we say? Why me? Why this? Why now? Why would the Lord God ever allow Herod to drive a sword through the male infants and toddlers of Bethlehem? Why would he allow their mothers to suffer and weep without comfort or justice? Why would he allow that and yet spare the child Jesus and his mother? Those whys open the door to all of our whys, to the whys born of our heartache and our sorrow and our fear. And we'll explore these whys, this why question today, from three perspectives. First, from the perspective of these holy innocents and their parents. Second, from the perspective of Herod the king. And finally, from the perspective of God himself. Now, from the perspective of the slaughtered children and their parents, where we might find ourselves, it's easy to identify with them. It seems unfair, doesn't it? They've done nothing wrong. In fact, the only thing wrong they'd done was to make their lives in and around Bethlehem at that particular time. They look a lot like victims of circumstance. You know, wrong place, wrong time, wouldn't that just be my luck? When I look at those families, I expect that many of those families were trying to do the right thing, trying to do everything right, like so many parents are today. They're not so different from Joseph and Mary. As soon as they knew they were expecting, I'm sure they began praying for their children, praying for their safety, praying for the life that lay ahead. They had their boys circumcised on the eighth day. They lived according to the Torah of Moses. I'm sure they took their families to synagogue. They taught the faith to the little ones from a young age. They were devout parents, raising devout children, until suddenly, in the middle of a night, without warning, in the cold and the dark, those little boys are no more. No more. No more because Herod sent and killed all the male children 2 years old or under. Can you imagine the grief in those homes? And not just once on that night, but grief after grief, year after year. Each birthday that rolls around, the wound ripped back open. Each holiday where that child is missing, the wound ripped back open. Every milestone that's missed, the wound ripped back open. What did those mothers feel when they saw another child the same age as their own dead son? What makes it even harder is that these were children. We call them innocent. Now, in calling them innocent, we don't mean that they were sinless. We believe, as Scripture says, that none is righteous, not one, and that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, including these children of Bethlehem. With David, we confess about ourselves and all people, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And yet you remember what Jesus said about little children. He said, let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven, children and infants. And he said that unless we become like them, we can never enter it. They were innocent in this sense. Children are far more trusting than adults. And along with that, they hadn't been exposed to the evils and temptations that come with age. Yes, of course, the average 2-year-old can throw a temper tantrum with the best of them, and they certainly lack control of their emotions. It's a window onto their fallen hearts. And yet, the little child remains unaware of the depths of evil. He hasn't played with sin or explored its dark corners. He hasn't faced the devil's full buffet of temptations. He hasn't experienced the suffering and losses that come with time. The truth is that growing up too often means growing into sin and falling into temptation and learning to know evil from the inside. They missed out on all that. But they also missed out on the joys and blessings of this life. What good did they never get to do? What truth did they never get to learn or to share? What beauty did they never get to see or create? I think about that when I think of the unborn who've been aborted. What might they have done? What wonderful things might they have done or created or taught? The heavens and the earth remain God's creation. He made it for us to explore and to enjoy and to rule. And the Psalms describe a full life as 70 years or even by reason of strength, 80. And these children didn't have it. So we ask why. It makes no sense. It seems unfair to these holy innocents and their parents. One piece of advice for you, don't be like the friends of Job. The friends of Job, when they were faced with suffering, said that he must have deserved it, and they told him to be quiet and to stop questioning God. Don't be like them. Sometimes people do just need to cry and lament and question, and that's okay. But don't forget this either. There's more beyond this life. If we think that those little holy innocents missed out on everything, then we are very mistaken, because we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. And now we come to the question of why with respect to Herod. If David was a king after God's own heart, then what was Herod? A king after the devil's own heart. Sinful rebellion explains a great deal. What will a person do who cares nothing for God or for other people, but only for himself? Or we might say, what will that person not do? Cain killed Abel. Joseph's brothers threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill all the Hebrew baby boys at birth. And we could go on. It's madness, this sin. And in this life, we see that God's will faces opposition. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature, they hate God and everything that he made. They despise everything that's good and true and beautiful, including and maybe even especially infants and children. Has it ever seemed to you like infants and children have a target on their back, bigger than the target on ours? Their innocence makes them vulnerable. Just think of the issues involved. Abortion, child abuse, broken homes, school shootings, graphic sex ed curricula, gender reassignment surgeries for minors. With the slaughter of the holy innocents, The devil even gives Christmas a dark side. That's how St. John tells it in Revelation 12. He says, the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. If the devil is the dragon, what does that make Herod? But the dragon's mouth. Driven wild by anger and by envy, as if he's driven by a demon, Herod cares about nothing. He rages against nature himself, against children. When the wise men slip away in secret, he takes out his anger against the children who had done no wrong. He bears a sword, but not for the sake of justice or of righteousness. So don't blame Christ for the slaughter of the innocents, but blame King Herod's cruelty, his sin. And we might ask Herod why he's so angry. Why does he rage against these children? Didn't he know that the birth of this child was divine? Wasn't Herod the one who summoned the chief priests and scribes to hear what the prophets had promised of old? Didn't he hear how the star led the wise men? And didn't he marvel at their courage and faith to travel so far for something so little? And what was all of that except evidence of the power of God to bring to fulfillment what he had promised? The hand of God was all over the birth of this child, and Herod should have seen it. And yet he raises his hand against the weak and defenseless, against children and babies who had done nothing wrong. He even opposes God, and that's why the innocents die. But still we have the question, why? Why would God allow it? What was he doing while Herod raged and slaughtered? We confess that God certainly had the power to prevent it. I believe in God the Father Almighty. He's not lacking in power. He's not ignorant of the devil's design or of Herod's wrath, as if God was paying attention over there while Herod was at work behind him. He knew about it. He even foretold it, as we heard from the prophet Jeremiah. A voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted because they are no more. Near Bethlehem, Rachel had died, giving birth to the son of her sorrow, Benjamin. And along that same Bethlehem road, the mothers of Judah had stood and wept as their sons and daughters were carried off into exile in Babylon. And now it happens again by the hand of Herod. So much weeping in that place. Yet God is carrying out his plan. God is carrying out his eternal plan, despite the opposition and the hatred of the devil. They intended for evil, but God remains at work for good. And he doesn't let them win. And they can't outwit our God. Because with care and with seriousness, God protects and he puts into action his plan for our salvation. Some would tell us that history is just one meaningless fact after another. But that's not the case. For God, there is a point to history. There is a plan and a purpose and an end to history. And he watches over it for our redemption. God sends his son into our flesh, and then he protects that son and his parents from the hand of a ruthless ruler. But don't think of their flight to Egypt like a Florida vacation. They're not going to the Caribbean to hang out and have some fun. Jesus, our brother, shared our hardship, the hardship of our human condition. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to be in want. He knows what it is to be hunted by death and the devil, even as a child. So why was Jesus spared in the slaughter of the innocents? God's son wasn't just spared from death. He was spared for death. He was spared for death on the cross. In heading to Egypt, Joseph took Jesus and Mary into exile and toward the cross, not away from it. As the true Son of God and as the new Israel, Jesus would come out of Egypt to do the Father's will and to lead his people home through the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ numbered himself with sinners when he was baptized in the Jordan River, for he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil and face our enemy in hand-to-hand combat. Sin, death, and the devil, it looks like they are victorious in the slaughter of the innocents. It often looks like they are victorious in our world as well, but the child who got away would be their undoing. In his innocent death on the cross, he atoned for the sins of all. And by his descent into hell, he triumphed over the powers of darkness, and through his resurrection from the dead, he defeated the power of death, and he broke its bars forever. The reign of evil and injustice will be brought to an end because of this child, God's own son. And how does God respond to the senseless slaughter of the innocents and the malice of Herod? And how does he respond to our whys and our laments and our sorrows? He sends his son into Egypt and back to the promised land. He sends his son into death and then raises him to life forever. And that's why the Lord says through the prophet Jeremiah, "Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There's hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your own children shall come back to their own country." Even as we weep, even in our sorrows, even as we ask the question of why, we believe that to be true, and we wait. God, who brought his son out of Egypt and who raised him from the dead, has not forsaken the holy innocents, and he has not forsaken you. He will vindicate his people. He will raise them and us from the dead. And as we heard in Revelation 14, it is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. They are innocent, and they live forever. Why? Because of God's Son. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray. Lord God, because your light has dawned upon us, we trust your mercy to answer the prayers of your people with grace sufficient for all our needs. From distant lands and far-off places, you have gathered for yourself a people to bear your name and live in the light of your word. Bless your church here and around the world, that we may be united in doctrine, live in harmony and peace, and work together. Bring those still in darkness and death into the light of Christ, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Kings and governments rise and fall, but your word endures forever. Give to all our elected and appointed leaders grace and wisdom sufficient for their task, that they may keep the sacred trust placed in them and serve the common good. Bless especially those who protect us at home and who serve the cause of peace throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Through your word, you have made known the mystery of Christ and granted redemption to all people through baptism and faith. Guide those who preach and teach your word. Give them your love to shepherd your people faithfully. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
By your mercy, we are preserved in times of trouble and sustained in illnesses, even to death. Bless the sick and those troubled in mind and heart, and grant them healing according to your will. Encourage the grieving with hope. Comfort the dying in their last hours. We especially pray for Barney, Doug and Marsha, Rich and Carol, Cadence, Danny and Camilla, Ed and Kate, Subash, Dan and Patty, Judy, Giselle's grandmother, Tiffany, Al, Bobby Joe, Jason, Jackie, Judy, Randy, Rosemarie, Kurt, Nancy, Eldon, Madeline, Linda, and Ed. We thank you for hearing our prayers for Kirsten and ask for her continued health. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As the holy innocents suffered from Herod's rage, we ask you to comfort the families of the martyrs and strengthen all who suffer for the sake of the gospel. We especially cry to you on behalf of the unborn, that their lives may be preserved with the full protection of the law and their care supported by the full resources of the medical arts. Bless all mothers with child, including Laura and Kay. Comfort those who suffer infertility or miscarriage. Grant your physical and spiritual care to all women and men affected by abortion. Bless First Concern, CareNet, and Clearway Clinic, their clients, staff, and boards, that they would provide hope and help in times of need. Help us also to treat with dignity and respect the elderly, those with disabilities, and all who are homebound, including Karen, Rick, and Andrea. Give us courage to speak up and act on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Gathered before the mystery of Christ's presence in the sacrament, we ask you to prepare us to receive, in repentant faith, his body and blood. By this communion, equip us with every gift and grace, that we may fulfill our calling as your people and be kept to the day when at last we join you in the heavenly banquet that has no end. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have shown to us the face of your mercy in your Son, through whom those of all nations may find unity and life. Hear the prayers of your people, and grant all that is needful to us and to those for whom we have prayed, that trusting in your mercy, our hearts may find perfect peace and rest in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
In his strength and
it is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, in the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Holy,
holy, holy Lord God. into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm today is Psalm 80. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with bread of tears and gave them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts, let your face shine, that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and took deep root, and you filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It let out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then? You have broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit. A boar from the forest ravages it. All the move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish in rebuke of your face. And let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man who you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts, Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Depart.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Oh.